Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 1, and it reads, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him.' Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there is not enough for you and for us. And you had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went out to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Christ. I come to you today with a sermon that asks the question, did you make the right choice? Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you and we praise you and we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding that we may receive the message you have prepared for us this day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you make the right choice? In the parable that Jesus told just a few moments ago for our hearing, we are taught that 5 bridesmaids made the right choice, and 5 of them did not. And so the question that normally comes out of that for me, one for us to wrestle with, is the simple little word, why? Why did 5 bridesmaids, the 5 that got left behind, why did they make the wrong choice? Were they misinformed about the bridegroom's arrival, the time he would come, or if he would come at all? Were they willing to take a chance, throw caution to the wind, just to see if they would be able to get in anyway, even though they were told to be ready? Or how about this? Maybe they were so preoccupied with other things, they just got busy and didn't have a chance to prepare properly. Or maybe this. Maybe they were just so excited about the opportunity to meet the bridegroom that in their haste, they didn't put together all the things that they needed. We've often done that, haven't we? Got so excited about going on vacation that we forgot all the bare essentials. Gone to a tropical island and forgot our swimsuits. Or how about this as a possibility? Maybe they were just lazy. They looked at those big old buckets of oil and said, "That's just too much to carry. I'm just going to bring what I need. I have a lamp. That's good enough." Well, church, any of these are possibilities. And there are even more that we haven't even begun to entertain. But the final end of the story, end result, is simply this. When they returned, their choices that they made them too late to meet and to be a part of that gathering in the hall when the bridegroom finally arrived. But here's the thing. Regardless of why this all occurred, regardless of the reasons why they made these uninformed choices, The one thing that I can say that we can all agree with is if I were to ask you, did these five bridesmaids make a good choice? I suspect that all of you would join me in saying what, church? You would say no, wouldn't you? By the way, when I ask questions like that, you're welcome to answer me back. And this leads me to my next question. How do you make choices? What informs, what influences the choices that you make in your own lives? As you reflect on that question personally, I want you to listen to our Old Testament reading once again in how the people of Israel made their choices. For you see, knowing that the people of Israel had a long road ahead of them from where we pick up in our scriptures to where God was going to lead them in the future, they were going to have to make a lot of choices that would impact not only their lives, but the lives of their future generations to come. And so as they gathered, Joshua, who was put in charge at this instance in time, realized that they needed to have the right equipment to make these informed choices. So he gathered together all of the elders of each tribe, all of the leaders of Israel, in the place where they had rested called Shechem. And as they gathered before Joshua and presented themselves to God, Joshua began saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah, and his two sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates, and they served other gods," small g. Sidebar, we're going to have a great conversation about this when we get to it in Bible study. Back on script. And he says, "And I took Abraham out away from his people beyond the river, and I spoke to him. I took him through all the lands of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all those other ites that we're also going to read about. And he said, 'You are going to revere the Lord. You're going to follow him faithfully. You're going to follow him with sincerity. You're going to put away all those gods with a small g. The gods that your ancestors held on to so faithfully and served beyond the river when they were in Egypt. And you are now going to serve the Lord, the one and only God.'" And then he said to them, "If you're not willing to serve the Lord, the God of your people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, people of Israel, today is your day. This is your time to choose who you will serve. You're welcome to serve the gods in the place where we are right now, worshiping statues and idols and whatever you choose to do. Or you're welcome to go back to where God brought us from and worship the gods of your ancestors. But as for me and my family, we're going to worship the Lord God, the God Almighty who has done so much for us." And then he looked out to them and said, "What say you, people of Israel?" Well, hearing this, hearing these words, hearing this challenge, it convicted them. And they all responded by saying, "We too will worship the Lord our God, for we know all the things that he's done for us. This is the God that brought us out of slavery. It's the one who was with us when we were in bondage. It's the one who showed us signs and wonders and miraculous things that no one can fathom and no one could reproduce. This is the God that protected us along the way, that kept us safe from our enemies, who kept us from becoming a statistical history. It's the same God that drove out all of our enemies before us and gave us this place to settle in, the land that he promised to our ancestors. Therefore, we will serve the Lord our God faithfully with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength." To which Joshua said, That sounds good. Great statement. Great promise. But let me give you the rest of it. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to choose to serve Him faithfully. You can't say, I'm going to serve God on one breath and then sneak off in a corner and worship a little statue over here or worship a little idol over there. You have to be fully committed to God, because God is a jealous God and He will not appreciate you doing this. To which they responded, we will follow the Lord our God and we will serve Him faithfully. Then Joshua said, okay, you've all said the same thing. You've all said it together, but you've also heard each other say it. And so it's with that that you are your own witnesses against yourself. What does that mean in plain and simple English? You're going to hold each other accountable for what you said. So if I promise that I'm going to do something and Pastor Anna hears it and then I go to break it, it's her responsibility to hold me accountable for what I said I was going to do or not do. And it's the same with each of us. If we have said we have chosen to follow God and we're going to follow God faithfully, and we've all heard this, then it's up to us to hold each other accountable for doing just that. Amen? And so with that, we take a step back and we say, did the people of Israel make the right choice in making that promise? And I suspect that if I were to ask you to answer that question for me, I'm sure all of you would say a resounding yes. They made the right choice. For a little while, anyway. They followed it pretty well. And then as generations passed, the choices that they began to make took them further and further away from God. But at least they got off on the right start. I wonder, as we look forward to where we are today, I bring us back to our original question. And that question is this. Are you making the right choices? What informs the choices that you make? Do you make choices in your life based on what's popular? Hey, everybody's doing it, so I don't want to be left out, so I'm going to do it too. Or how about this one? Do we make choices as a result of peer pressure? Yes. We talk about it for our children, but believe it or not, amongst adults, we also suffer through this thing called peer pressure too. Or how about this? We make our choices based on tradition. My grandmother did it this way, my mother did it this way, and I'm going to do it this way because we've always done it this way. I wonder if that makes it right. Or are we influenced by our own knowledge? I make my choices because I know what I'm talking about, because I am smart and nothing else matters. Or are your choices built on something better, built on something stronger, built on something that's more reliable? Are your choices built and based on what you have learned from the Word of God as a child of God? When I think back to some of the choices that we've made through our lives, I'm sure if I were to ask you to raise your hands, I am going to ask you to raise your hands. Raise your hand if at any point in your life you think you may have made a bad choice. And if you feel so inclined, you can raise two hands. Because some of us have made bad choices and some really bad choices. And yet, what influenced those choices? And what was the consequences as a result of it? I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge this. While we were here in church worshiping last week down in Sutherland Springs, Texas, somebody chose to go in and shoot up a church, hurting and killing a lot of people. I can't help but to wonder if that person who made the choice to do that believed somewhere in his own spirit that he was doing something that was good. Church, people of God, we make so many choices based on so many different reasons. And yet, when we look back to our lives and we ask that question, what informs the choices that we make? When you have to make a choice, if you can say that the choice I made is the right choice, without question, without hesitation, but with God in the midst of it all, you'll know you've made the right choice. But if I were to ask you, did you make the right choice when you did, and then you fill in the blank, and you find yourself struggling to say a quick yes, if you find yourself having to justify why you made this choice, or trying to explain your reasons for making this choice, then I would encourage you to go to God in prayer and ask God to give you these three things: guidance, clarity, and focus on how to live a life of making choices that are pleasing to God. Beloved people of God, throughout this existence, this journey we call life, we're going to have to make choices. But the only way that you're going to know that you've made the right choice is if you invite God to be a part of it. If you put God in the center of it, then and only then can you be confident in knowing that you have made the right choices. So I challenge you this day, choose ye this day to include God in the midst of all of the choices that you make. And what you'll discover is that your life will actually be a much more pleasant journey than you could ever imagine. Amen. Pray with me. Loving God, we thank you so much for being the inspiration, the motivation, and the center of the choices that we make. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to do just that for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.